Good afternoon. Score projections coming in on Friday afternoon. This is September 3rd. Again, the quick picks today. We have 4 baseball and 2 college football. And there'll be a recap at the end if you wanted to fast forward to the end if you're in a hurry. So moving on quickly, yesterday we have the good, bad, and the ugly. Cue the Clint Eastwood music from the movie. The good in baseball was the Oakland pick went almost exactly as expected, even down to the point of the Oakland bullpen barely hanging on for the 2-run win. Meanwhile, the bad would be the opposite with the Red Sox game. The Red Sox pitcher wasn't expected to do very well, and he was the opposite. He was excellent, etc., etc. Not a good situation there, so split those two games. Unfortunately, the Tampa Bay game was some juice, so there's a loss on that. The football games, we have good, bad, and ugly. So Appalachian State did exactly as expected. They're the superior team. They cover the spread. That's good. The total, however, didn't quite make it over the 56, 4 points short. So that qualifies as bad. Nothing unordinary about either the win on the spread or the loss on the points. It's just a normal win and loss. And then there's the ugly. University of Central Florida, -6.5. They win by 5. All of it was ugly. They fall behind 21-0, 24-7. The first 7 points given up were on a 100-yard interception return from turning a would-be UCF score into a 14-point swing for 7 points on the other side. Again, falling behind by 21-0 and then 24-7. Actually coming back, taking the lead, and winning the game, and needing a 2-point conversion, which if they'd have made it, they win by 7, and it's a win for the day. Unfortunately, didn't make it. Bad performance on the 2-point conversion. Okay, so that's the good, bad, and the ugly from yesterday. Hopefully it's all good today, moving into those games, starting with the football. Going to take North Carolina -5.5 points over Virginia Tech. Now this should be a larger line. The only thing going for Virginia Tech really in this game is that it's at Virginia Tech. And that's not insignificant. A home conference game is a big deal. North Carolina is essentially returning their offensive line and their Heisman candidate quarterback Howell. They've got a great defense. It'll be the best defense they've had in a decade. Long story short, North Carolina is going to probably win their division. Virginia Tech possibly as good as second, maybe third or fourth. And really, North Carolina is just a superior team. The only reason why it's not higher than 5.5 is because it's at Virginia Tech, and that's just stating the obvious. But North Carolina is a clear play at -5.5. The second game is a Big Ten matchup, Michigan State at Northwestern. And in this one, taking under 45.5. Now what we have here are two defensive-minded coaches. Pat Fitzgerald from Northwestern, some people you would argue is the best defensive coach in college football. He's in the argument. And then Mel Tucker for Michigan State, his specialty has been defense. He's obviously the head coach now, but his influence is on the entire team. There's no quarterback playmakers in this game. When there's no real playmakers and you've got two defensive-minded coaches, it's the very first game of the year, starting right into a conference game rather than normal cupcakes to start the season so you can gel and see what you're good at and what you're bad at and what you need to work on. It's going to be a defensive game. Now, last year, this game between the two teams went to 49 points. And again, this line is 45.5. Last year was pretty sloppy. For the record, that was Northwestern's best defense in memory. Gave up 15.9 points a game, and a lot of those starters are gone. So you would assume a 49-point game last year could in theory be higher because of the loss of the skill position defense for Northwestern. However, again, this is the first game of the season. That game last year was sloppy, COVID-related sloppiness on both sides. And it's a one-game aberration, if you will. Basically, you have to look at the facts. The facts, again, are defense-minded coaches. There's no explosive offensive players. It screams under. Doesn't mean it's going to be under, but it's a very solid play. So those are the two college football plays. Moving into baseball, we've got New York Mets on the money line. That should be approximately 140, minus 140. Again, shopping around is always the best answer. You make more money in the long run. The Mets are the better team. Again, we could talk about the one advantage Washington has is that they're at home. Playing at home does help. Again, stating the obvious. The Mets have the starting pitching edge. These are not stars. Rich Hill versus Sean Nolan. But Hill is significantly better than Nolan, and he's pitching significantly better currently in recent past than Nolan. Nolan has been terrible. Regarding current flow, you've got Washington on a 5-game losing streak and the Mets on a 4-game winning streak. The Mets are, in theory, still going for the playoffs. Washington dumped almost everyone off of their major league roster at the trade deadline. So there's a reason why one's on a winning streak and one's on a losing streak, and this is not the time to go against that. So it's definitely a play on the Mets on the money line. Moving on, we have Baltimore versus New York at New York. Taking New York on the run line, so minus 1.5 runs at approximately minus 115. This is a very simple play. The line should be significantly higher for the Mets, meaning longer odds. The one thing against that is that the home team on a run line is a slight disadvantage because if you're winning the game, you're missing your final inning, your final three outs, because you won't need them. So you could win by one, lose the bet, and therefore the run line on the home team is usually a little lower than it would be. Well, it's almost always lower than it would be if you're the road team. For the run line, that is. It's a different scenario on the money line. You've got better pitcher means for Baltimore is, in theory, again, their best pitcher, but he's not pitching well right now. The team is terrible. Very recent past, they had a almost 20-game losing streak. The Yankees are surging. They had a double-digit win streak, and they're still playing strong. There's absolutely no reason to take Baltimore in this game. It's a play in New York on the run line. Moving to the next game, we've got the Los Angeles Dodgers on the money line over the San Francisco Giants. These are two teams that will be in the playoffs unless there's a complete self-destruction by San Francisco, because the Dodgers will be in the playoffs. They will be likely in the World Series. They're at about minus 117 to minus 120 on the road at San Francisco. In the pitching matchup, you've got Price for the Dodgers, who doesn't really pitch more than three or four innings. That's built into that. They assume they're going to have relief pitchers going. This is not a surprise to the baseball world of the Dodgers, obviously. In San Francisco, you got a little bit more of a surprise. DeSclafani, the pitcher who's pitched well all year, is pitching terribly of late, and he's pitched terrible versus the Dodgers all year. I don't think the trend will change in both cases. You've got to pitch better against the Dodgers. You've got to pitch better than your recent past, your last month. I wouldn't expect today to be the day that he breaks out of that slump. So it's going to be a bullpen game, which will be an advantage to the Dodgers since they've had a full day of rest. Meanwhile, San Francisco played yesterday, and their best reliever, Rodgers, has pitched 2 days in a row. First place is on the line, and it is at San Francisco, but Dodgers are actually playing like the best team in baseball right now, whereas San Francisco had been playing a little over their heads. I think it would be hard to argue that they weren't playing better than what was expected, and they're going to come a little bit down to earth here. This is definitely a Dodgers win on the money line. And then the final game is the Houston Astros at the San Diego Padres. You've got the most ridiculous mismatch in pitching on the slate today. You've got Jose Urquidy for Houston versus Jake Arrieta for San Diego. And these are pitchers on the opposite end of the spectrum. The Houston pitchers, this pitcher Urquidy is really doing well this year. He's a good young pitcher. There's nothing that's going to indicate he's going to have a bad day today versus a San Diego lineup at home, yes, but they're not setting the world on fire with their bats right now. Speaking of fires, the San Diego pitcher, Jake Arrieta, used to be a dumpster fire before he got even worse, and now there's just smoldering embers of what he was, which was still not a serviceable pitcher. He should not be pitching in the major leagues. And it's not just this year, it was last year as well. So he's bad last year, worse this year. He's had some great years in the Major League Baseball, but it's time to hang it up. So it is a clear play on Houston. And again, this is Houston, who has the second highest scoring offense in the American League. Stars up and down the lineup. And they've got a good bullpen now, which they bolstered at the trade deadline. And they're only approximately a 120 to 125 favorite. I think it's gone up slightly since this production's been made. But clear win. So, to recap, the college games, North Carolina minus 5.5 over Virginia Tech. Michigan State and Northwestern under 45.5. Moving to baseball, Dodgers on the money line over San Francisco, Mets on the money line over Washington, Yankees on the run line over Baltimore, Houston on the money line over San Diego. Those are the six plays. Should actually be posting Saturday's podcast later this evening, in anticipation of an early slate and getting in everybody's hands before then. Good luck.